star on my car and one on my chest. A gun on my hip and the right to arrest. I'm the guy who's a boss on this highway. So watch out what you're doing when you're driving my way. If you break the law, you'll hear from me. I know I'm a working for the state. I'm the highway patrol.
Yes, highway patrol, highway patrol. We know what it all means. It's the return of Safety Talk here on KWHI. As Craig Montana, joined by Sergeant Jimmy Morgan in the studio, who's going to talk to us to keep us safe on those highways and byways and roadways all around, backways, waterways, and skyways. It's got to cover, again, just busy time for you guys.
Absolutely.
As you guys are always out in full force all over the entire state of Texas.
That's correct.
And we appreciate that.
It's a beautiful time of year.
I mean,
it's nice. It's, I don't know. This kind of makes you want to go out and do some work.
Yeah. There you go.
Man, well, it's been a busy week, like always and stuff. So I'm just trying to keep up with everything. But, there's a lot of things going on. I was asking you, I couldn't remember if I did. It says here, you know, here in Texas, especially up there in the county where I'm from, they work a lot of animal accidents. A lot of quarter of their accidents are animal related. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are deer auto accidents. And I know y'all have some here in Washington County. But it says here, Idaho woman says she crashed because she saw a Sasquatch. Now, I'm just saying that, we have some animal related accidents here in Texas. But I have not got that report here in Texas. Have you?
I would remember that.
So.
But I want to read that news story, though.
Yeah. Well, I got it right here. And so, U.S. Highway 95, she struck the deer, but the deer was being chased by the Sasquatch, I think, how it went. But anyway, I thought that was rather interesting. I try to watch them shows, but... have they ever saw one? Really saw one?
Well, I don't. I don't
and you're a hunter. These game cameras that we have out now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You would think.
I mean, I've seen some stuff on there, but not like that. UFOs and stuff on there.
well, anyway, I don't know if they did field sobriety or not on that person, but I'm just saying that. Hey, look, we got to get a laugh sooner or later. Anyway, I don't know. I just thought that was kind of funny.
That's funny. My daughter loved that. My daughter, my oldest, she loves those shows.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. She's big into Bigfoot because her grandfather's. Watch those shows,
right?
So she goes to spend time with him, and that's all he watches. So,
but
she knows all about it, man. All those Appalachian mountains, and monsters, all that good stuff. Yeah.
Anyway, I tell you what. Checking this morning, our fatality rate here in Texas, sadly to say, at 778, just a little under 250 fatality accidents a month here. Last year, I think we ended around. Over 300 fatality accidents a month, so we're below that again. We're not in that summertime travel and all that stuff yet, so we're not in a really, really busy time part of the year. Even though we have baseball and stuff going on like that, but
being down is still a good thing though.
Absolutely, I'll take that. I wish it said zero, but unfortunately, things that do not help. As you know now, we had a 13 fatality accident, two-vehicle accident near Garner State Park. And, we've talked about texting and driving on this program before. At 70 miles an hour, 102 feet per second, your average text is 4.6 seconds. So basically, you drive blind 469 feet. That's more than almost more than two football fields. So, it doesn't take long for a second for you to end up across that center stripe. In this case, it's pretty much what happened. And like the young gentleman's already admitted to, that's kind of what was going on. The 911 call, the gentleman did what he could do. You know, he's trying to notify authorities, and I think there's some video footage from the phone. And if you watch the truck, sadly enough, and that's why I tell people that a lot of times we'll pull somebody over thinking they've been drinking and driving, but actually they've been on their phone. And if you would have watched the operation of the vehicle, some of the footage that I've seen, then it looks like that's what you're funking. They're all over road, changing speeds, whatever. So if you want to know why you shouldn't text or drive, that right there should get your attention right there, because you don't want to be that person to cause a major accident, cause an injury to yourself or somebody else. Could it happen so quickly? So we're talking about a 20-year-old gentleman here that for the rest of his life is – you know, it's going to remember that. So, unfortunately, that's what happened. So, again, you know, we're in session. I can't comment on legislation as far as, I don't know what's being introduced and stuff so far. People ask me about, Texas as far as texting and driving, all that. You know, we do have some. We have the school zones, we have school bus drivers. Your Fed regs on your commercial drivers, hands-free. We have cities that 90 cities have ordinances that some type of texting or cell phone. College Station has hands-free, even on their bicycles. So we'll see how that works out, if there's anything introduced or actually signed that changes. But this kind of reminds us how important it is to keep our eyes definitely on the roadway and not to be texting and driving. So just thought I'd go through that. Gentlemen, this is a funny story, too. I got some friends over in Rockdale, and this guy bought him a new work truck. And he has a boom and everything on it. It looked good. And I was just kind of messing around with him, and I asked him, I said, What kind of license do you have for this truck that you bought? He goes, well, I have a Class C because it's under 26,001. I said, really? I said, okay. So I was looking at it, and I opened the door, and the first thing a trooper will look at, especially the CVE trooper, he's going to look at that GVW weight rating on the side of the door. When I opened the door and looked at it, and he had told me that when he had the truck built, he told the manufacturers this, he wanted this where he didn't fall under Fed regs and keep his CD, non-CDL type deal. Well, the doorpost said 32,280.
Ooh.
So I said,
that's a few thousand pounds difference.
What kind of truck did you thought you were getting? And he said, well, you know, I told him this. I said, well, according to the doorpost here, your GVW weight rating is 32,280. That puts you a minimum of Class B CDL. He goes, do what? So anyway, the way they manufacture, I don't know if they put the right label on it, so that's in discussion. So he's got an option to make. Either they're going to either they designed it at a lower axle rate and stuff, and they just put the wrong label on this particular truck because it's kind of a custom deal, and they'll change that for him, or he's got to decide whether he sells the truck, keeps the truck, or go get a CDL driver license to operate. So what I'm getting at, when people ask me about vehicles and stuff and the work they do, you need to really pay close attention when you're buying vehicles to make sure you have the right class of license to operate that vehicle. And sometimes people just don't know, and they just get involved. If I would not told him that, he'd been driving up and down the road, and probably one of our buddies sooner or later would have stopped and did some checking, and he probably would have got issued a citation for operating the vehicle with the wrong class of license. So
now what is the fine for something like that?
It's hard to say. You know, JPs, the fine rates are different in each county. Okay. Usually a wrong, something like that, maybe 200 something plus court costs with all that good stuff, depending, the county you're in. So Class C, misdemeanor on that. So, but if you're required to have a CDL, then you're required to have all the Fed regs and some of the other stuff that he may have. So it's very important that he gets that worked out. So yeah. I'm interested to find out what exactly.
Yeah, because given we've been talking about that, those tests, the CDL tests, man, they're no joke.
Oh, man.
They're so tough right now. If you get away from it,
yeah.
Chapter possible.
If you don't know any other chapter, know Chapter 11 on the inspection part. And my understanding is that's the verbiage they need to hear when you're going around doing the inspection on the vehicle. So that's the best information I give is know that Chapter 11 and the language that they use. That's kind of what they're wanting to hear on that. Yeah, there has been some change. You know, I don't know what else is. There was some other rules that were getting delayed. You know, the with the new president and all, I think they're trying to some of these regulations. And it looks like even in the trucking industry, that they're looking at maybe reducing or not going through or delaying. So it's too early to tell what rules will stay in effect, what it would change, but. Yeah, there has definitely been some changes in the CDL process and the 14-day learner permit along with that when you're changing classification of a driver license that you got to have prior to getting the license that you want. If you got a question or whatever, it's, get your information before you go out and buy something for sure. This morning, I was asked a question that sometimes we get asked here on the show, and I thought I went over it many times, but apparently this was over a bet this morning. But again, people want to know, tell me the difference between a farm-registered trailer and one that's not farm-registered trailer, the exemptions and stuff you get. So, again, if you're 4,000 pounds or less and the trailer's being used for farm use, not required registration. You're exempt from inspection certificate. You also get exemption from the safety chains and stuff and daytime lighting. That's huge, you know. That's a lot of exemptions. I tell people just because you get exemption, that don't mean it's best practice is make sure your lights do work. I mean, you don't,
yeah.
If you get exemption, but if your lights work, you know, it's better that they do because certainly you've been behind a vehicle and you see these like hay trailers and stuff. They'll have that single round bell. Well, usually depending how big they are, they'll block out the taillights of a pickup truck. So you know you're behind one, but you can't see if he's taking left, taking right. And some people get frustrated, start going around, and they realize the vehicle's taking left. So then that causes a wreck. So. And most people say, well, I didn't see no, he didn't have what? Well, he gets daytime lighting exemption. So be careful when you get around farm equipment type vehicles, especially this time of year, as we stated, that, you know, farm vehicles and stuff on our FM roads are going to be more now seeing, you know, with the rain and stuff, I think they got most everything planted by now. But again, a lot of farm equipment and stuff, and you just got to show patience when you get around that to make sure what's going on. And not take that chance. So then if you have that trailer that is non, if it's 4,000 to 3,400, you can get that farm license plate. You still get the exemptions on the safety chains and the registration part. You just have to get the farm tag on there. But, that's kind of the main difference. On a regular trailer, you know, obviously you got to have a registration and then 4,500 pounds or more where a lot of people found out even with their RVs and their boat trailers this past year or so is that you got to have an inspection on that 45 or more, type trailer. So, that's the big difference on the, difference in the registration on farm.
Yeah. And again, that's not a new thing.
No.
Need to be registered.
Right. Let's see here. Got any calls yet?
No, not yet. Somebody does have a call for 979-836-9937 in studio here. Or I'm checking the emails.
I do better when I get calls and emails.
Yeah. Mail, mail at kwhi.com. And call and talk and, you know, whatever it may be. You know, there's always something on your mind that you want to know about. And he's here for is why he does this. So.
Gentleman this week also approached me and said he got a citation in Louisiana.
Louisiana.
I said, what'd you get a citation for? He said, well, I put these extended rims on my dually truck. I said, okay. He said, yeah, I was too wide, he said.
Extended rims?
Yep. I think I'm seeing some.
Like the blade rims, like the chariot things, or?
No. The rims itself that the tire's on. I don't know if you put spacers or what okay. how that works. Somebody in the automobile industry probably understands what an extended rim is. I don't think it was the caps or that you see on these cars.
Okay.
So it kind of got my curiosity up. You know, here in Texas, if you go to 621-102, the transportation code, it basically says a passenger vehicle can't be no greater than 8 foot. So I measured a dually the other day, tire to tire, outside to outside. So 8 foot is what, 96 inches? Something like that?
Sure, why not?
So when I measured that dually truck outside to outside, what do you think the measurement was on that dually truck?
Pretty close.
95. So basically, they kind of know what 8 foot is, okay?
Yeah.
So don't add any kind of extra width other than what you already got on a dually truck as far as that, because your total width of a vehicle is 8 foot. So whatever he did, he must went over the 96 inches, so he got tagged. And you would get tagged here in Texas, but somebody just, he's been fortunate enough. And trust me, I don't know. Sometimes when you see different plates in different states, sometimes you get looked at a little harder sometimes. But anyway, I just thought that would be a lesson. Again, it goes back to, if you're not sure, contact your local law enforcement or your sheriff or your local state trooper before you start putting stuff on your vehicle. And if they don't know, let them check on them and get back with you.
There you go. All right, I think we got a phone call today.
Sure.
Good morning. You're on Safety Talk. You have a question for us.
Yes, I do. Regarding the ATVs, what are the rules or the laws on, as far as like the John Deere Gators or Kawasaki Mules driving on the county roads, on the regular road? Is there a speed limit? Is there, you know, what are the, just go over the details of that.
Okay.
Can you be, what age? I mean, my grandson drives one. We make him wear a helmet, but I just don't know what's legal and not legal. So if you'll discuss all that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the phone call today.
The basic rules on AT vehicles is that, I think the last program I was visiting with when we had a tragic incident here in Washington County, mm-hmm. is that the operation use, farm rancher, police officer, or used by a municipality, a meter reader, something like that. You got to have a driver license. So that's the three reasons that you can be on a public road or a county road, wherever it may be. Other than that, you can't be any, when I say highway, that's fence line to fence line. A lot of people think, well, I'll stay on the grass, I'll be all right. That's not the case. So if you're not using one of these type vehicles for that particular reason, then your operation would be illegal. So other than that, you would have to stay on your own property. And sure, using a helmet and all that good stuff on your younger kids, if they're operating them, that's certainly a wise thing to do. But as far as operation on the roadway, that's pretty much what that is.
Okay. And that's just ATVs, UTVs, everything?
Yeah, your gators and all that good stuff.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we can get in the golf carts, too. That sometimes people, I saw you like, that's why I'm listening. But, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay. All right. Another phone call here today. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk.
Good morning. I got a question about making a left turn on red. I see in Brenham in town, I see some people making a left turn at a red light.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if, is there anything on that about if it's a one-way street, can you make a left turn? Or what's the rules on that?
Yeah, you just said it. The only way you can make a left turn on red is on a one-way street. So is that the case?
Yeah, and I know I've seen it several times on Austin Street at Alamo, and in that left turn, it's hard to make a left turn, even though when you're in that lane, because you got oncoming traffic, you got to yield to them when you got a green light. And I see them making a left turn on red right there.
Yeah, it has to be a one-way street for that to happen.
Okay, and I also seen them on West Main, on Main, turning left onto Market, which is not a one-way street.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that would be illegal then.
Yes, sir. That would be a violation. Yes, sir. Sure would.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. That cleared it up. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Bye bye. There we go.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't think I knew that. Mm-hmm. You could turn left on red.
Mm-hmm.
But if one way to one way, it's the only way you can do that.
Mm-hmm. On a one way street. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Because you're already worried about one flow there.
Yeah.
You know, and then they have these now turning lanes where two lanes can turn at once.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, that's true.
Those are getting tricky sometimes, too. I don't like those too much. Look at another phone call today. Good morning. This is Safety Talk.
Yes, I have a question this morning.
Go ahead.
Okay. On an officer in the city limits, and if they're running outside the city limits, are they allowed to pull people over? I don't want to mention the town, but there is a town close by here, and I have seen the local officers, you know, 2 miles out of town past the city limit,
mm-hmm.
pulling over people.
Yes, sir. The short answer to that is yes. Since September 1st, 2005, what they changed that up where officer, in, like, say, Brenham, for instance, the Brenham officer can stop anybody inside the county that they reside. So Brenham would be Washington County. So, for instance, he had to go somewhere, another town, he's coming back. See, he can stop somebody for even a traffic violation as long as he needs the county that he resides, his city resides in. However, if he does that, he has to issue the citation to the proper court, whether it be JP court or city court. So the reason you don't see it done a whole lot, he can't go Chapel Hill and write a ticket in Chapel Hill and send it to Brenham Municipal Court. Yeah, that's sent it to the.
Okay.
It has to be the justice of the peace that covers that area.
Right. Okay. I was just wondering because, you know, I just didn't know if they were allowed to go past the city limits since mm-hmm. you know the city. So
yeah, it's not
that answers my question.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. It's not a common occurrence. You see that, but occasionally, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes it happens that. Calls go out and the nearest officer maybe is somebody from the city that needs to go out, you know, say they got, like this guy that called in on the Texan driving deal and he's the closest one. You know, he needs to be able to go out mm-hmm. and make that stop. So
yeah.
It don't happen all the time, but it does happen.
And you said 2005 whenever they started that?
Yeah, they changed that in 2005.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
It's kind of weird. Do they have like special rules, you know, used to be? Because I remember when I was coming up, you know, I'm from Somerville, mm-hmm. and our police officers would travel.
It used
up,
to
like,
be
lines.
Felony. It just used to be all felonies and stuff like that. And they changed it. It don't have to be just felonies.
Okay.
It could be just a.
Because, like I said, in Somerville, they travel to Lyons, which is, you know, just
right.
like 5 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
And they, because there's like a community of like, I don't know, what, 50 people there.
Right.
But they would patrol that area, yep. you know, and then they come back into Somerville. I'm just wondering, you know.
That was who?
In Somerville?
Oh, okay. Well.
Yeah. Where I'm from, you know, right there on 36.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering, they did that. I don't know if they did that just for protection for the people out there or what. I didn't know.
Hard to say.
Yeah, this is back in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah,
so
they're just trying to get out of town.
Yeah, well, maybe. You know, it's a nice little drive there from the city limits and Alliance for all of 2 minutes.
Is that a light going off there or what? What is that?
Do we have another phone call?
I don't know if that's a bad phone.
I didn't see anything. Oh, that is one.
Okay.
Eyes are better than mine this morning. All right, let's do another phone call here. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today.
Good morning. Who's this?
This is Safety Talk today. You have a question?
Yes. I have this letter from the solicitation from the Texas DPS Troopers Foundation.
Oh.
The letterhead, it looks like they've gone out of their way to make it look like an official part of the state government. I was just wondering, is there a state agency called the Texas DPS Troopers Foundation, or what's the what is it?
That is a valid foundation. You know, they give to scholarships, officer gets hurt in the line of duty type stuff. So that is a valid foundation that you have there.
But it is not an official Texas part of the Texas government. It's a private charitable foundation.
Yes, I mean the people that it's not part of DPS. It's a subpart of DPS that represents the DPS troopers.
Okay, is this related in any way to the one that years ago I used to get about four or five telephone solicitations a year from a foundation, and I checked with the DPS then and said, don't touch them.
Right. Well, I would have to look. There's Texas State Troopers Association. There's Department of Public Safety Officers Association. These are, and in the past, some of them have views the telemarketing service. I don't particularly like that. I know there's so many scams you hear throughout, and that gets people nervous. And I tell people this, that if you're not sure, 100% sure, and you really want to do something for law enforcement, but you're not really quite comfortable doing that way, find your local law enforcement or whatever you want to do something here local, and give to them so you know directly where your money's going. But a lot of these, the one you mentioned, is a valid foundation.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the vault call there.
I actually had that written down, and I just hadn't got it.
Yeah, he
you said
to
that to me.
Yeah, I think last week he'd called about that, and we were going to discuss that. You want to take a break?
Sure, I sure do.
All right, we'll do that. It's about 9:36 morning. If we're going to do that, we're going to take a quick break, let him get, coffee, stretch, whatever he needs to do. We'll come back. More safety talk again. 979-836-9937 is the number in the studio. We're checking those emails as well. Mail, M-A-I-L at KWHI.com. We'll come back in just a moment.
Let's say you suddenly need to see a doctor. Maybe you're feeling under the weather, or you have a bug that you can't seem to shake. Or worse, maybe your child has come down with something. Point is, you know you need to see a doctor. But how do you go about choosing the primary care doctor that's right for you? You'll want a clinic that's nearby, and it'll have to accept your insurance plan. Well, look no farther than Baylor Scott & White Health Primary Care Clinics. With numerous locations throughout the area, you'll find them everywhere you are. You'll also find something that other clinics don't have, the Baylor Scott & White Health name. That means each clinic is part of a large network of physicians, specialists, and advanced technology. We even make it possible for you to manage your care with our online patient portal. Baylor Scott & White Health Primary Care Clinics have multiple locations, many with extended hours to fit your needs. And we accept most insurance plans. So when you need medical care, choose Baylor Scott & White Health. Visit bswdocs.com to find the location nearest you.
Tucci's Furniture on Bluebell Road across from the fairgrounds in Brenham should be your first stop for furniture for any room, dining rooms, bedroom furniture, and kids' furniture. Tucci's has expanded and now has more furniture to select from. See their furniture online at tucci'sfurniture.com and like their Facebook page to see new arrivals and special deals. They're now offering in-house financing with no credit check, low monthly payments, and 8 months no interest. Tucci's Furniture, 1002 East Bluebell Road in Brenham. Special orders available. Se habla español.
What's a ranchette? Property between 2 and 40 acres with a house, a barn, or other outbuildings is a ranchette. And insuring small farms and ranches has been Germania's specialty since 1896. Find out how Germania can protect your piece of Texas, your ranchette.
In Brenham, call Dahman and Associates at 979-836-4241.
Trust Germania.
Guadalajara Mexican Restaurant in Brenham invites you to come enjoy their new specials and new buffet items. Stop by today for new items on their buffet. Plus, every evening, Guadalajara is offering two entrees for $20. Choose from six available entrees, which includes chili con queso. New bar specials include margaritas for $2.99 each all day Saturday. Plus, Mexican martinis for $3.99. So enjoy all that's new at Guadalajara Mexican Restaurant, 1308 Prairie Lee Street in Brenham, for great Mexican food.
Designated by the Texas Legislature as the official State of Texas Bluebonnet Festival, the Chapel Hill Historical Society proudly presents this year's Bluebonnet Festival on April 8th and 9th in downtown Chapel Hill. Come and enjoy hundreds of juried arts and crafts vendors, children's activities, and a day in the country in Chapel Hill with live music by Abigail Taylor, Julia Hatfield, Gary Dernberger, and Dr. Jim Mazikiewicz and the Polska Capella Band, just to name a few. And of course, hundreds of Bluebonnets. The festival runs from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, April 8th, and 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Sunday, April 9th. Bring the entire family and enjoy the Bluebonnets, shopping in Chapel Hill, the historical buildings, our local restaurants and shops, and of course, hundreds of booths in Chapel Hill. For more information, musical lineup tools, and maps, please visit the ChapelHillHistoricalSociety.com. Thanks to this year's sponsors and underwriters, Chapel Hill Sausage, Chapel Hill Bank, Brenham National Bank, High Meadows Land and Cattle, Brianna's Fine Salad Dressing, Best West Foundation, Caney Creek Farm, Beaver's Kitchen, Dixie and Tom Stevens.
Astros baseball is on KWHI. Tune in to hear the Houston Astros baseball games on KWHI 1280 in Brenham, brought to you thanks to our Astros sponsors, Tegeler Toyota, Bluebonnet Petroleum, DDM Pipe and Steel, Cruzy Village, Caldwell's Chemdry, J5 Tractors, LaRoche Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac, and Fireplaces, etc. Please support our Astros sponsors, and for Astros baseball, keep your radio dial tuned right here on KWHI 1280, your Houston Astros connection.
Welcome back once again to Safety Talk on KWHI. Greg Montana, of course, being joined by Sergeant Jimmy Morgan from the DPS in studio to answer your questions you have about roadways in the entire state of Texas and beyond. And, of course, coming up this weekend, Sergeant Morgan, we got the big event going on in Chapel Hill.
Oh.
I don't know if you know about that one, the Bluebonnet Festival.
I went there one time.
Did you know?
There was a lot of folks.
There's always a lot of folks there.
A lot of folks.
So I didn't know if you wanted maybe just talk about that just for a moment about...
Ooh. Man.
A festival like that on a on a major highway.
Yeah. I'm sure what additional troopers we have in the area, they'll be patrolling that area there because of the just amount of traffic that thing draws. So, obviously, the sheriff's department probably will be busy also. Yeah, it's a big event.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the weather's supposed to be good this week.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Oh.
Fantastic. Huh. Low mid-80s, sunshine.
Oh.
I mean, what more do you want?
Oh, man. Well, yeah, that's that's a big event. I remember having to travel, walk, you know, a good ways just to get to it. So, anyway, no, I did not know that. I just slipped my mind.
Yeah, it's going to come this weekend. So, I mean, some people, you know, might want to think about, you know, when they're doing going something like that.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you want to carpool a little bit, get with a buddy or so. You know, if there's got a lot of cars and stuff like that. So the way of reducing that is carpool. So instead of everybody driving their own vehicle and everything, but get there early. I would say that that would be a smart thing to do. Cause you get there late, you're going to be doing some walking and stuff. But, I know the intersection gets real busy out there during that time. So you're going to have to show some patience. And I mean, there's traffic can be backed up pretty good.
Yeah.
If the results or was last time I was there. So, there's one other event that is coming up that I had written down, as far as safety is the car seat checkup event, April 22nd in Bryan. I don't know if when the last time they've had one here, but if you'd like one here in Brenham, the Texas AgriLife department over there, they help run these things in cooperation with other organizations. But this is a chance to bring your child, your car seat in, let them take a look at it, inspect it, and see if you got it in there properly and make sure it's got you got the right car seat for the child and all that good stuff. So that's going to be April 22nd at the Target Shopping Center there in Bryan. So I'm going to try to make that. I usually try to make that one and work with them installing a car seat. So obviously any questions you may have about them can be answered. And sometimes they have a few extra there just in case yours got a defect or something like that. So that's not a guarantee, but sometimes they do.
Yep. Carson, do they talk about the booster seats while they're there? Or
they'll talk about anything, the whole child, whatever child you got, whatever age, whatever. They talk about it all.
Because booster seats is, again, they have to vet that to the – how tall is it?
Four foot nine or under age of eight. So either one. And I tell people, even though you can meet the exemption part of that, you really need to really take a look at that child. Because them booster seats really help that child sit up where that seat belt comes across the chest like it's designed to do. So your child may be just 4'9" and over 8'8" or whatever. He may be 8, and you get an exemption, but he may not be the 4'9". You know what I'm saying? So like say that seatbelt's not going to come across there, right? So you're kind of taking a chance with injury, not keeping that child in the booster seat a little bit longer than that. So let's see here. What else? Boy, we stirred up a hornet's nest on that red light thing. I just, anyway, but I had something else. This time of year, we were talking about trailers, and I forgot to get into this. You know, a lot of people like to trim bushes and all that stuff and stuff. Remind yourself when you're loading stuff on trailers to secure that stuff, tree limbs. I see stuff all over the roadway, people not securing their stuff. And remind yourself when you're loading this stuff, you get 3 inches to the left, 6 inches to the right, and you get the 4 foot from the rear. A lot of people still... I see this all the time. That it's usually that ladder that sticks out the back of the truck. And I see the red flag. I get it. I get it. But if it exceeds over 4 foot, you have to have a permit. And with the permit, they're going to have you put that's where the red flag comes from, is that's what they'll tell you, and also put a red flag on it. So the red flag by itself does not give you to the privilege to haul a ladder over 4 foot. So be careful how you mount stuff and sticking out the back of your truck on some of that stuff. But is that time of year on that. Let's see here. We got the Trooper Foundation. We got the car seats. Remember the lady that called us? I think we were off air. She was wanting to know what to do. She had a flat tire where there was no shoulders and stuff.
Yeah.
And
you're in a construction area, yeah, construction zone. So sometimes they got those barriers.
You know, that's unfortunate. That happens, but I think me and you both agreed that, you know, don't stop and right there. That's a situation where you're probably going to lose the tire, and certainly if you, I don't know, may have some rim damage depending how fast you go or whatever. I would put my flashers on. And I would just try to go as safe as I can without tearing your rim and whatever, and to move up to somewhere we can possibly get off the roadway. But stopping the roadway on that situation would not be – you're going to get – look, we can replace the rim and everything else, but you doing that, you stand a good chance of getting run over, seriously hurt. So we can't replace you, but we can trace that rim. So, unfortunately, that's a bad situation to be in, but do not stop in the roadway on that. Slow down your speed, maintain your control of your vehicle, and get up where you can finally get off somewhere off the roadway.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when that 1-800-555-5255 comes in. Call one of us, whatever.
Yeah.
We'll come out there and get behind you, and we'll see what we can do and get it all changed out, whatever.
Back your license, right?
Yeah, back on your driver license there.
The number's there for use.
It sure is. Sure is. Got that one out of the way. Got any phone calls? Oh, it died down. We took a break. It all died down on us.
Uh-oh. Sorry about that.
Okay. Vehicle heat strokes. This time of year, I like to kind of just point that out. You know, it is starting to warm up. It was rather warm this week before we had this last front. Even though it's 88 degrees outside, remind yourself it gets a lot hotter than that in the vehicle. If you don't believe me, all you have to do is take yourself, put yourself out in the parking lot, close your doors, and let the sun come on in, and tell me how quick it takes to warm up in that car. Usually they say about 19 degrees in about 10 minutes, so it don't have to be 100 degrees for it to be a danger in your car. So, again, we remind people this time of year, as it starts heating up here in Texas, your kids, your dogs, and everything, make them plans of taking the kids in. Don't leave them in the car, or have some type of plan, because we've already lost 3 already this year in the U.S. on vehicle heat strokes. So the last year in 2016, we actually went over the average. The average is usually 37 a year. We went to 39. So since 1998 to present, we have lost 703 children in these vehicle heat strokes. So I just want to point that out. It makes yourself and there is some violations of law if you do leave your child under age of 7 for more than 5 minutes with somebody not less than 14 years of age.
Now, is there protection for civilians if, like, we see that, you know, like, I see a kid stuck in a car, hot day, I go break the window, say the kid. Is there protection for destruction of property?
I would think there would be, yeah.
Okay.
I would think you're trying to save somebody's life. Yeah, I don't think you're going to be held for that. Okay. I know that's actually happened, and it doesn't get a whole lot of publicity, but I've never heard anybody say, hey, yeah, you broke my window out. Even though you saved my kid, hey, you broke my window out,
yeah,
man.
I don't know. People out there, there's people out there in this world that are like that.
Well, so. I say people in Washington County is going to be on your side.
I would hope so.
Let's see here. A lot of duty deaths. We lost an officer this year in Texas already this past week. That puts us up to 33 officers in the U.S. that we've already lost this year. So far this year in the U.S., we've lost 11 by gunfire and 13 by auto. So, again, a dangerous job that we do. Just a reminder, support your local law enforcement in your county, whatever it may be. Because, like I say, sometimes you just don't know when these things are going to happen. But we did lose one in Baytown this week.
Oh, I have a question for you. I just thought about this. I was going to ask you about this. Me and my buddy, heated discussion about this, by the way. How many years is it between having to renew your license?
Well, it's been 5 years now.
Is it 5 years? Because I thought it was six.
Mm-hmm.
He told me it was 10.
Okay. CDLs. No, it's not 10.
Yeah, that's what I said. He's like, no, it was like 10 years, and somebody said no, 8 years. What is it from? You know, I go take my picture, get a brand new license. From that to the next time I got to renew it, I can do it online, whatever. How many years in between?
Yeah, see, they changed that. It went from 4 years. Remember, it was 4 years from the longest. And then they wanted to kind of separate that. And I'm saying five, but I think it's five CDL. Let me do some checking on that.
Okay.
And maybe,
not CDL,
but it's not 10.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's what I was told. 10. I was like, there's no way it's 10. Even 8 would be way too long in between renewing.
I'll get you.
Or something other than like changing the address or something like that.
Right, right. I think even 6 comes into play, whatever.
Okay, yeah.
So.
Yeah. I just wondered. This is a heated discussion we had. I just want to double check on this.
Okay. Well, I'll check into that, and I'll get an answer for you on that one.
Okay. Be great. Thanks.
Flash floods, this time of year, we had some rains and stuff like that. There was a article I was reading the other day that talked about a lady was actually on 911 trying to give her location. She was being swept down a creek or whatever it may be. So, again, when these floods and stuff happen, depending what type of vehicle and stuff you have, certainly if you don't really know the depth and all that and you're sitting there hesitating, I think your instincts is trying to tell you something. Don't do it. Turn around. Find a different way.
Yeah, well, they say flash floods. I mean, it's it.
So these things can happen so quick. So, and if you see somebody in a dually truck do something, heavy truck, and you're in a little passenger car, I mean, that's what I say. There's a difference in vehicles there. So, make sure that you, don't take that chance and get caught being swept down a creek as these rains continue to come in, especially during springtime. Again, where our construction work zones across the state, would continue to pick up on these type of, work zones now that the weather's kind of cooperating, it's kind of heating up. So I noticed this morning here on 36, still working on that project there, and looks like it's coming along just good. That'd be nice when we're going to get that done. So we lose about 115 fatalities a year in our work zones. Certainly they got the rumble strips and all that going on now. And get your attention and put your eyes back on the roadway. Got another call there?
I do believe we have one. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today.
Yes. Y'all were talking about the driver's license.
Yes.
I do believe we have one. Good morning. In other words, on your Class A is 6 years and your CDL is 5 years.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking five, but that was a CDL. Then I got to thinking the six.
Yeah. See, that's what I thought it was 6 years. Yeah. So, okay.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Like I said, I kept saying six, and they're like, no, it's 10. I knew him for 10 years. I was like, well, you went 4 years illegally.
Yeah, CDL's five, and that's six. That makes sense to me. Yep. I think that's correct. I think he's spot on.
Okay. All right. We've got a few more minutes left in the show today, so.
Okay.
A couple more topics.
I was looking at a flash about. Over there. That's what I was kind of looking up.
That may have been a hangover from that last phone call.
Okay. All right. You know, not so much right here in Texas now as we got a range, but, you know, I was reading an article the other day that Oklahoma has already had 800 grass fires or some type of fire. So, it must be dry up that way. So, again, you know, as we're having the rain now and stuff like that, we're blessed right now for that. But if you go to travel in some of these other states or some of the other parts of our state, remind yourself, you know, they make ashtrays for a reason. Try to keep your cigarette butts and all that. Yeah. You don't want to be the one that start a major grass fire and burn somebody's home up. So apparently in Oklahoma, it's pretty dry. So just kind of remindful of the motors not to be doing that.
Make sure those barbecue pits and everything are out, too. That's when to start firing up those pits before long.
Did you ever watch, there was some video footage of this that I thought I saw. Was that a kind of a road rage incident? And we always talk about road rage. And this gentleman got upset with a couple of motorcycles. Actually struck one or whatever. I think this was the case. I think when he got interviewed, he didn't deny what he was trying to do. He got really upset with him. So he got 15 years.
Wow.
So I'm just saying, you can get aggravated and all that stuff, and you know. I got people tell me, well, I have somebody doing this. I'm going to force them out. Don't do that. If somebody's doing something, whatever, get away from them, pull over, let them by or whatever, or somebody cut you off, whatever. I know it's frustrating. I've been there and what all that, but it's not worth getting yourself in a situation and getting yourself jail time because you lose.
You're throwing your life away.
Yeah. It just, and this day and time, you don't know who that person is, what their intentions are. None of these things turn out good. So, obviously, again, just remind folks, just give them some distance, report the incident. If it's that bad, 911's a fine way of doing that. Hopefully we can get some law enforcement there if they continue on what they're doing. But don't get caught up in these road rage incidents. This man did, and it ended up him 15 years.
Yeah. And plus, you know, if you're angry, you know, you don't know who you're going up against. That person can go have a level of crazy you could never expect. And it could be turned bad real fast. And so just, how they say, turn the other cheek, right?
Well, you know, this day and time, like I say, it's you just don't know. Thanks for having me on today. I know it's a busy time of year. It's a great time to have activities and events such as the Blue Bonnet Festival down there. Again, show some patience. Some of these things get a little crowded. Obviously, when we get in these rainstorms and all that, slow your speed down and proper following distance will keep you in a lot of trouble.
So. All right. There we go. Thank Sergeant Morgan, we appreciate you coming in today.
Sure.
As always, visiting with us. We'll see you in another couple more weeks. And if somebody does have a question, once again, your information, that they can get a hold of you.
979-776-3147 or jimmy.morgan@dps.texas.gov.
All right, appreciate it. Well, you have a good one. We'll see you again next time.
Yes, sir.
All right, there we go. Sergeant Morgan from the DPS again in the studio for Safety Talk again today. We'll do all again a couple more weeks from today, and we'll show about that. But once again, if you want to get a hold of him, you can do that. Or just send it to me. You can send me an email. We forward it to him, and then he'll have information for the next time he comes in for Safety Talk here on KWHI in Brenham. It's almost 10 o'clock. So you're back to ABC News and Real Country after this on KWHI.
You shouldn't do. You can bet your boots I'm coming after you. If you want to race, then get on a racetrack. Or if you try to run away, I'm gonna bring you back. I'm here to keep all the speeder driving slow. I'm just doing my job, I'm the highway patrol. I'm the highway patrol, highway patrol. My hours are long and my pay is low, but I'll do my best to keep you driving slow. I'm just doing my job, I'm the highway patrol. I'm just doing my job.